Our topic for the day is the great controversy. Now, the great controversy, as you know, is the title of a book. But there's more to the great controversy than just being a title of a book. It's a very good book. It's a book that I highly recommend because in it you will see what's going on in this world today, right now, as well as the background of how this great controversy started. It's an ongoing thing. Here is a quotation from that book. The great sin of the Jews was their rejection of Christ. The great sin of the Christian world would be their rejection of the law of God, the foundation of his government in heaven and earth. Now that's interesting. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are aware of the gross darkness that surrounds us today, and of the pressures and of the great controversy that's going on for the hearts and the minds of your people, and the struggles that we are having just making ends meet. Oh, Father, we know that you are coming soon, that you are coming, dear Jesus, in the clouds of heaven to make things right. But in the meantime, we need to be vigilant. We need to be looking up. We need to be doing the works of Christ while he yet lingers. And we ask that you would help us this day to get our priorities straightened out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Jews had been strong on law, but they were lacking, when Jesus came along, they were lacking in grace and in mercy. The Christian church introduced grace and mercy walking hand in hand with the law of God. This was the point. This is what Jesus tried to tell the people in his time, that yes, the law was good, and yes, he did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. But that it was not only that, he went steps further and he said that even to be angry with your brother would be to commit murder in your heart. He definitely was a believer in the law, because the law is necessary in order for us to understand what it is that God requires of us and how we can reconcile ourselves to him. Because without him, without the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the law condemns us to death. We are outside the wall of safety when we are not in Christ. And the law speaks against sin. Now, the apostate Christian church teaches a lawless grace. Cheap grace. Once saved, always saved. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. The world today is preaching that and teaching that and watering down the gospel of Christ to the point where I'm okay and you're okay. And we are not okay. On the other extreme, there are churches, there are bodies of believers that are legalistic. The other extreme. And today the world goes for political correctness. A morality that is relative. There are no absolutes, they say. And this attitude infests mainstream Christianity today. Just believing in the keeping of the Ten Commandments brands you a legalist. Do you know that? If you say you believe in keeping the Ten Commandments, they automatically throw that legalist title on you before they even think. Because the Ten Commandments are a declaration of love. The Ten Commandments are loved, defined. Jesus, we all agree, preached love, lived love. He did lovely, wonderful things. He brought healing to the people. Before he even opened his mouth, he would walk into the crowd and begin healing and healing and healing and healing and healing and doing wonderful deeds of kindness, and then he would preach his message. Now, a lot of the movements today, they do a lot of preaching, and then they go out and they try to imitate healing, and sometimes people are healed and some people are not. But the great controversy is, are we doing Christ's will today? What side are you on? Whose side are you on? Now, that controversy started so long ago. Before there even was an earth, before there were man in heaven, there was a great discussion. You know what a controversy is? What's a controversy? Well, it's a discussion that gets rather heated. It's when people get together and they cannot agree who's right, who's wrong, what's up, what's down, and they discuss and they discuss and they argue and they fight, and it's just an ongoing thing. And so is this one that started in heaven so long ago. It's an ongoing controversy between who's right, Lucifer or Almighty God? Who has been accused? Almighty God has been accused by the devil and by most of humanity today of being unfair. Why is there all this heartache and sin and immorality and death and suffering? If God is so loving and so just and so kind and so merciful, why did he allow there to be a devil in the first place? And the controversy goes on and on and on, and we're wondering, what are you up to, God? Now, Jesus bids us to shine, being public about our faith. And our testimony shows what we are. The ones most in danger of being deceived are ourselves. Did you know that? The world is not deceived by us. Others are not deceived by us. Our hypocrisy will show. A one-time profession of faith does not guarantee eternal security. A faith that overcomes does. Salvation obtained must be maintained. Salvation can only be maintained by an attitude of continual repentance and full reliance on the grace of God. Assumption is not faith. Presumption is not faith. Surrender to the will of Christ and his grace produces fruit meet for repentance. A surrendered will and obedient heart are evidences of salvation. So then, if one professes to keep the law to be saved, he is not. And if one professes to be saved and does not keep the law, he is not. Law and grace must work together hand in hand. Grace makes keeping the law possible. It is impossible to keep the law without grace. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is this teaching that invites persecution of the remnant church of God. Have you been persecuted lately? Have things gone wrong in your life lately? Has the pressure been coming down on you? Have you been trying to live this life in front of folks and have they objected? Has everything gone wrong? Now, there is another more important question that should engage the attention of the churches of today. The Apostle Paul declares that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why is it then, and this is a quote, why is it then that persecution seems in a great deal to slumber? The only reason is that the church has conformed to the world standard and therefore awakens no opposition. It is only because of the spirit of compromise with sin, because the great truths of the word of God are so indifferently regarded, because there is so little vital godliness in the church, that Christianity is so popular with the world. Let there be a revival of the faith and power of the early church, and the spirit of persecution will be revived, and the fires of persecution will be rekindled. And that's from Great Controversy. Too much sin is tolerated in our midst today. This is the Great Controversy I'm talking to. This is where the rubber meets the road. The Great Controversy is going on in here. It's for your affection. God wants you to love Him, to obey Him, to live for Him. And the devil says, he's not worthy of it. Because he's not fair. Because look at all the sin and corruption in the world today. If God was fair, why didn't He stop it in the beginning? And some people will even say, if God knew there was going to be a devil, why didn't He just kill him on the spot? God's not fair. The controversy is, whose side are you on? You got to take sides. And here it is. Too much sin is tolerated in our midst today. We hear little mention of it. We need to do more than mention it. The catalog of sin is large. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Get your Bible out and look at it. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read you the catalog of sin. Maybe it's been a while since you heard this. But we need to be reminded, that's why the law came, to show us our need of Christ. Romans chapter 1. The catalog of sin, I call it. Beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore, now this is the important part, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, turned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even if, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Listen to this catalog now. It's still going on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of errors, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do, but also approve of those who practice them. That's heavy stuff. That's the catalog of sin. That's what's tolerated in this society today. If you do not partake in these things, you stand out like a sore thumb, as they say. But we are a light on a hill. And if we stand against these things, then the world will not love us so much, But they will hate us as they hated Christ. Because when he came on the scene, he showed them their sinful hearts. Oh yes. And your day in court is coming. So is mine. That is certain. How do I know this about us? Because the Bible tells us so. Do you know what the worst news of all is? I'm just as guilty as we all are. I am going to court too. Let's read about it in the 14th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 14 and 6 says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come.'" Revelation 14, 6 and 7. The Bible says that this message is for every nation, tribe, language, group, people. The hour of God's judgment has come. Did you know that? That the judgment has come? That it's ongoing? We call it the investigative judgment. The books are open in heaven. Everybody's life is an open book. And God is weighing in the balances. By our deeds, by our works, shall we be judged. We are not saved by works, but we are being judged by our works. For it is by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But we are being judged right now. That's no earthly court. This is no trial of the century. Heaven's court sits. This is the trial of the ages. The great controversy is ongoing. It's happening right now. Good and evil finally, fully, completely settled. Destinies of mankind will all be settled. And Daniel saw this. Way back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Can you imagine that scene? Daniel looks up into heaven and sees the supreme court of the universe. 10,000 times 10,000 beings, cherubim, seraphim, angels in heaven's court. He sees the Ancient of Days, God the Father, seated. And he sees the Son of Man, Father and Son, sit. And the Supreme Court of the universe convenes. And he says, onward here, he says, "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open." That's Daniel 7, 9 and 10. This is a magnificent, majestic, glorious scene. Sitting the supreme court of heaven. The Bible says books are opened. Evidence is presented. Why? What occurs in this judgment? How is the drama of destiny settled as the sun sets? Planet called Earth, you will recall, studied the timing. This judgment, timing, cleansing, heaven's sanctuary. "And he said to me," Daniel 8 and 14, "for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." Now we know that the Bible says that one prophetic day, one year is 2,300 prophetic days from Daniel's time. And that represented 2,300 years. And it talked about the cleansing of the sanctuary. So we know that according to Daniel's prophecy, we are in the last of the last days. Did you know that? And the great controversy is still going on. And he has appointed, Acts 17:31 says, "God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world." We have entered that judgment hour. What is the reason for this judgment? Why is there a judgment before Christ comes? Doesn't God know who's saved or who is lost? This is all part of the controversy between good and evil. Recall the Bible says God created Lucifer, a being of dazzling brightness. He rebelled against God. He led the universe into disobedience and rebellion. And let's read about it. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He also says, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. From the north, where God's law was given, Satan wanted to be the lawgiver. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer wanted to sit on God's throne. He rejected God's authority. This is where the great controversy started. He wanted to be his own ruler, and he wanted to set his opinions above God's sovereignty. Lucifer claimed that God was unfair. Lucifer led a third of the angels into rebellion. He had a powerful ministry, didn't he? A third of the angels. Then he came to planet Earth. He led Adam and Eve in the same sin, and that was to reject God's love and authority. If we don't accept God's love and authority, then we join Satan's rebellion. See, before universe, the whole universe, Lucifer has charged God is unfair. God is not righteous. God's way is not the best. God's laws can't be kept. Have you heard that one? Someone out there has heard, you can't keep the laws of God. So God is on trial before his own universe. And the heavenly records reveal God's justice. Before God wipes out sin, his love and fairness and justice must be shown to the universe. The universe, all of the universe will see that God loves us so much. And he has done everything possible to save every human. And you and I are going to be evidence in the trial. As our lives come before God in judgment, God asks, could I have done anything more? Antonio? Bob? Joan? Grant? Hasn't God done all he can possibly do to save us? What more do you expect? Not because God didn't give them a chance if people are lost. Not because God didn't love them if people are lost. Not because God didn't desire their happiness if people are lost. They were lost because of their choice. They chose to reject God's love and justice, his sovereignty, his authority. They wanted to be their own gods and make their own rules. God created the human race not as cosmic specks of dust, but as individuals. God created everyone with the capacity to choose, to make rational moral choices. Bible says, judgment calls us into account how we have used this power. Whether you're saved or lost, it's in your hands. It's your choice. Your eternal destiny, it's your choice. It's not in heredity. It's not in environment. The destiny is determined by you. Whose side are you on? What part of the great controversy have you taken part in? Are you living a life separate from the world? Are you doing the same things that the world does? What side are you on? So then each of us must give an account of himself to God. The Bible teaches the reality of the judgment, everyone giving an account of himself to God. And you heard the catalog of sin. If you are doing any of those things or have any of those attitudes, you're not on the right side of the fence. That was quite a list. I know that we haven't been through that very often, but if you are habitually continuing in any of those behaviors, you are deceiving yourself. If you think you are saved, you are not. It is as much a sin to overlook or to ignore sin and not rebuke it as it is to participate in it. Do not get baptized until you have been converted. You need to repent and forsake sin. God does not overlook or excuse you or make an exception for your particular little pet sin. He stands ready to forgive you, but you must go and sin no more. Following Christ means commitment. Yes, we have a sinful nature, but we now have a choice. The choice is not to sin. You don't have to if you don't want to. But the grace of Christ, through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, by that indwelling Holy Spirit, we can overcome. We will overcome. The secret is to never give up. You may fall. Get back up. You may fail. Keep trying. You may get discouraged. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Never give up, never give up, never give up, and trust Jesus. Because this great controversy is an ongoing thing. Yes, it's a great book. Yes, everybody should read it. Yes, we should pass it around and let people know the present truth of what we're living today. But we need to get a hold of this thing ourselves. Take sides. Live for Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have not left us in the dark, that You have sent Your prophets. You have sent Your Word. You have had it preached and taught to us. We know. Therefore, we are without excuse. If we lose our salvation, it is because we have neglected it. We will not neglect it, Lord. We ask that You would stir us up by way of remembrance. Help us to see the way clear. Help us help others. Help us help each other. Help us, Lord, to see clearly that You are coming soon and that You will reap the harvest of the earth. I pray, Lord, that these folks that are listening to the sound of My voice will all be ready and all be present. In Jesus' name, amen.